Pianists and surrealists of jazz, of the New York Times. Composer, keyboardist, bandleader, philosopher, poet, and self-proclaimed extraterrestrial. Sun Ra arrived on the Earth 100 years ago on May 22nd, 1914. This Thursday, May 22nd, 2014, KABU will dedicate the airwaves to 12 hours of the music, life, and philosophy of one of the 20th century's greatest avant-garde artists, Sun Ra. Beginning at 7 p.m., continuing all night long until 7 a.m. with a special in-studio performance of the Sonic Innovators Orchestra, featuring students of Thera Memories and conducted by David Ornette Cherry at 9 p.m. That's this Thursday, beginning at 7 p.m., a 12-hour tribute to the phenomena known as Sun Ra, here on KBOO Portland.
How do you stop it?
I'm Don Merrill. And I've been talking to as many Oregon State judicial, legislative, and gubernatorial candidates for 2014 office as I can. And I've been talking to them all. Deep blue, progressive, liberal, democratic, centrist, independent, Republican, conservative, libertarian, deep red. Many of these candidates get ignored by the mainstream media, but they're not ignored here. Hear these interviews on my podcast at www.kabu.fm/between us. Listen to the people who want to lead you in 2014. Oregon State judicial, legislative, and gubernatorial candidate interviews at my podcast, www.kabu.fm/between us.
Native American Business Network is holding its 12th annual Trading at the River Conference and Native Marketplace at Lewis and Clark College, May 27th through the 29th. ONABEN is a nonprofit public benefit corporation created by Northwest Tribes to increase the success of private businesses owned by Native Americans. Trading at the River features inspirational speakers, informative panels, and valuable workshops for small business owners and economic development organizations. ONABEN also welcomes community members to come check out the Native Marketplace, a highlight of the event, which features over 20 Native vendors. It is open to the public from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., May 29th at Lewis and Clark College at Smith Hall. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found on kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Time is 5:03, and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio. And coming up next is the evening news, followed by Labor Radio at 6:30. And at 6:30 will be Prison Pipeline, and at 7 it will be Hard Knock Radio. So please stay tuned. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub, independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizza, salads, and wraps. Located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland, their phone number is 503-232-5511, or they can be looked up online at laurelhursttheater.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KABU Evening News.
Coming up on the KABU Evening News, an Oregon district judge strikes down the state's gay marriage ban.
The Yes Men strike at Reed College. No, Reed is not divesting from fossil fuel. Yet.
And the U.S. charges Chinese officials with espionage. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, May 19, 2014. I'm Mike Klepfer.
And I'm Rosalyn Scott. Today, same-sex marriage became legal in Oregon. We will have an in-depth interview at the end of this broadcast.
Voters in two southern Oregon counties will decide tomorrow on a ballot measure banning the cultivation of genetically modified crops. Oregon farmers in Jackson and Josephine counties put the measure on the ballot. Earlier this month, Vermont's governor signed a bill into law making the state the first requiring disclosure of GMO ingredients in food labels, starting in 2016.
A man in Round Rock, Texas, is facing 5 years to life for making brownies with hash oil. In Texas, marijuana laws are a little more severe than other places. In Texas, the law requires that the weight of the sugar, cocoa, flour, and eggs be counted the same as the weight of the drug itself. 19-year-old Jacob Lavaro is being charged with a first-degree felony. If the weight of the brownie ingredients wasn't calculated as a drug, he would only be facing a misdemeanor charge. No place but Texas.
Well, according to the 2014 AutoVantage In the Driver's Seat Road Rage Survey, Portland, Oregon drivers are once again rated as the most courteous drivers in the United States. This is the second time in the last 5 years that Portland drivers have been given this distinction. Houston ranks number one as the American city with the worst road rage. But before we puff up too much with the latest honor, be aware that just last year, Allstate Insurance rated Portland as having the worst drivers in America. So I guess that makes us extremely polite, but inept drivers. Can't win them all.
The National Basketball Association has taken steps to formally remove Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling. The league has formally charged Sterling for conduct detrimental to the league weeks after a tape of Sterling emerged where he asked his girlfriend not to bring African-American guests to Clippers games. The tape sparked nationwide outrage, with Clippers players protesting in warm-ups to the first home game they played after the audio was uncovered. A players' union official also stated that star player LeBron James would not play next season if Sterling was still part of the league. Sterling has until May the 27th to appeal the ruling. Sterling has previously stated that he will appeal his ban and will not pay a $2.5 million fine imposed by the league. Sterling is a real estate billionaire who has been charged with workplace racism and sexual misconduct in previous lawsuits, and he was the subject of the largest national housing discrimination settlement in history, paying nearly $3 million in 2003.
According to the Portland Tribune, Reed College announced during commencement ceremonies this morning that they are following Stanford's lead in divesting from fossil fuel companies. According to Reed College spokesman Kevin Myers, this was a spoof. Given that the commencement speaker was Igor Vamos of the Yes Men, smart money is on the spoof. KBOO's Jimmy Tardy was on the scene and captured this audio of Mr. Vamos.
This morning, I had breakfast with President Kroger, and over a scone and a cup of coffee, I was very pleased to learn that the Board of Trustees of Reed College has just now decided to divest the school's $500 million This is indeed fantastic news. Reed joins 11 other universities who have made this commitment to the planet and to your future, and that includes Stanford, the place where Steve Jobs actually made the announcement about doing what you love. But I'm glad that Reed is doing what it must. And I'm very excited to break this news to the graduating class of 2014, since the world is in your hands. And if you want to break the news to the world, you can use the hashtag DevSReed. I'm also excited that the tuition-paying parents will no doubt be very pleased that your investment in a child's education is not in fact ruining the chance that their grandchildren will have a livable future on Earth.
Reed spokesperson Kevin Myers explained that this was a prank.
So we had Igor Vamos, who is a 1990 Reed College graduate, and some people may know him from Yes Men. He made a fake announcement that Reed College had divested from fossil fuels, so had divested the endowment from fossil fuels. But not only did he make that announcement from the stage, he also sent out a press release to hundreds of media representatives, media outlets, and had created a fake website that looked very much like Reed's website, where there was a press release that had, you know, fake contact information, and, you know, and a couple of outlets, you know, picked us up thinking it was a, you know, understandably believing that it was a real press release.
The Yes Men have a serious message behind their spoofs.
We do take it serious. I mean, and you know, back in 2006, the faculty voted to adopt a sustainability mission. We take that mission seriously. You know, since then, Reed has invested, just in the last 3 years, has invested $5.4 million in ways to reduce our dependency on fossil fuels. And that investment has resulted in removing approximately 2.65 million pounds of CO2 emissions every year. So we do take it very seriously. The Board of Trustees was asked by the students to divest from fossil fuels, and they're actually considering that right now. There's a decision coming within the next week or two.
With the federal government seemingly unable to get a handle on global warming, changes are starting to emerge at the local level.
We have a professor, Josh Howe, who's just written a book that more or less outlines that, you know, that it's not the national or multinational bodies that are making progress on climate change. It's really, you know, local municipalities making decisions.
And this is Rosalind Scott with KBOO News. The United States Justice Department announced the indictment of 5 Chinese military officials today in connection with computer hacking. It marks the first time the U.S. has ever sought to try foreign officials in connection to hacking and drastically escalates tensions between the U.S. and China over accusations of official misconduct. The 5 officials are alleged by Justice Department officials to belong to an Army-sponsored hacking group called Unit 61398. They face 31 espionage charges in total and stand accused of infiltration U.S. computer networks in an effort to obtain trade secrets, mostly pertaining to energy. The corporate targets of the alleged hacking include Alcoa, U.S. Steel, Westinghouse, and SolarWorld. Chinese foreign ministry officials dismissed the charges, calling them extremely ridiculous, and pointed to the U.S. National Security Agency scandal, which has shown that the U.S. regularly spies on foreign leaders and companies.
In related news, the National Security Agency has been accused of recording every cellular telephone conversation in the Bahamas, according to a new report from Glenn Greenwald. Today's report builds on an earlier story first reported by the Washington Post, which refused to name the country in question. According to documents provided by NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, the NSA used permission legally granted to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency as a means to exploit the country's cell phone infrastructure without the consent of the Bahamian government. The NSA reportedly records and archives all calls. These efforts are part of the NSA's Mystic program, which also intercepts cellular calls in Mexico, the Philippines, and Kenya. All told, the total populations of the 4 countries under complete telephone surveillance is 250 million people. NSA surveillance defenders have long maintained that the far-reaching scope of the NSA's programs is necessary to combat terrorism, but the NSA surveillance in the Bahamas pertains to drug smuggling, according to the documents.
An Occupy Wall Street protester convicted of assaulting a New York City police officer has been sentenced to 90 days in prison. Cecily McMillan was convicted of elbowing a police officer in the face while being arrested at an Occupy Wall Street protest in 2012. She maintains that she acted reflexively when an unknown person allegedly groped her breasts from behind, causing her to strike the officer. McMillan also received 5 years probation.
In New York City today, radical Muslim cleric Abu Hamza al-Masri was found guilty of terrorism charges. Hamza was accused of providing material support for terrorism, including enabling Yemeni hostage takers to communicate via satellite phone in 1998, attempting to start an al-Qaeda training camp in Oregon in 2000, and attempting to send one man to Afghanistan in order to attend an al-Qaeda training camp the next year. In all, Hamza was convicted of 11 charges. His conviction marks the end of an over 10-year attempt by the U.S. government to try him on U.S. soil. Hamza was extradited from the U.K. in 2012, where he led a London mosque. He faces life in prison.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for KBOO's special report on the right to marry in Oregon. At 6, it's Labor Radio followed by Prison Pipeline at 6:30. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow is expected to be sunny with a high of 75 degrees. Our friends at radcast.org have stopped producing daily radiation counts due to a lack of volunteer support. If you are interested in helping with this citizen-led radiation count, contact the organizers at radcast.org. On this date in 1935, T.E. Lawrence, also known as Lawrence of Arabia, died in Dorset, England, 6 days after being injured in a motorcycle crash. The quote of the day is from philosopher Karl Popper. Our knowledge can only be finite, while our ignorance must necessarily be infinite.
It's 5:16, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Oklahomans have been socked with a surprise from their own supposedly conservative state officials. Thousands of Sooners have been putting solar panels on their homes to save on energy costs and reduce fossil fuel pollution. Switching to solar even allows them to generate excess electricity, which they can transmit back to the grid and earn a credit on their monthly bills. To reward some common sense and socially beneficial energy innovation, the state's Republican-controlled government slapped a new fee, actually a tax, on the bills of those who convert from grid takers to grid producers in the future. This crude slap in the face came with no advance notice, no public hearings, and no legislative debate. It just appeared out of nowhere, said one local solar business owner. But this was not from nowhere. It came from a secretive corporate front group called ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. In exchange for getting millions of dollars from the Koch brothers, utilities, and other dirty energy interests, ALEC is peddling a cookie-cutter bill from state to state that stops homeowners from switching to solar by taxing the energy they produce. ALEC even adds insult to the injury its Koch-headed backers are doing by calling such homeowners free riders on the system. Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon, who was in on this despicable sneak attack from the start, had her ego stroked by the Koch Finance Front Group last year. ALEC presented its Thomas Jefferson Freedom Award to Fallon for her, quote, record of advancing free markets and individual liberty. This is Jim Hightower saying, now we know what the Koch-ALEC complex means by free markets and liberty. They mean that corporate energy interests should be free to stifle your individual liberty. Thomas Jefferson would be ashamed to have his name attached to anything that this cabal of corporate and governmental kleptocrats come up with.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
At least 16 anti-government armed militants joined peace process in Western Herat province in Afghanistan. According to local government officials, the militants were previously involved in anti-government insurgency activities in Obi District of Herat Province. In view of the drawdown of U.S.-led forces from Afghanistan by the end of 2014, New Delhi has decided to provide financial assistance to Afghanistan to fulfill its military requirements. The Congress-led UPA, which took the crucial decision before it was voted out of power, felt that arming Afghanistan is a strategic necessity for India. However, the move will keep Pakistan interested as it is against any kind of involvement by India in Afghanistan. A government source reported that the Cabinet Committee on Security, headed by former Prime Minister Manmohan Singh, agreed to pay for the weaponry which Afghanistan's National Army would need after the departure of NATO forces.
A flotilla of four Chinese ships arrived in coastal Vietnam today in order to evacuate 3,500 civilians affected by anti-Chinese rioting. Tensions exploded last week over the sighting of a proposed Chinese deepwater oil rig near Vietnam's border in the South China Sea. Rioting engulfed urban centers in Vietnam, leaving two Chinese nationals dead and 140 injured last week. Hundreds of Chinese factories and businesses, or those appearing to be, were targeted and burned. Vietnam, which originally supported protests against the rig, have deployed riot police in Hanoi, to the Chinese embassy, and to seaports. China colonized Vietnam almost continuously for three periods totaling 1,000 years, ending in the year 938. The two communist nations also fought a brief border war in 1979, killing tens of thousands. Recent tensions have also risen over Chinese economic expansion in Vietnam.
One quarter of Bosnia is without clean drinking water as flooding has gripped the nation. 35 people have been reported dead in Bosnia and Serbia, according to officials, as the Balkans have been hit with unprecedented torrential rain. More victims are expected to be found when the water recedes. Bosnia's foreign minister said that the rain had destroyed over 100,000 homes, made roads impassable, and caused over 2,000 landslides. Over 100,000 landmines unearthed from Bosnia's civil war have also been unearthed, complicating rescue efforts. The country's largest coal-fired power plant, producing over half the nation's electricity, is also in jeopardy of flooding, according to reports. According to reports, 500,000 Bosnians have been evacuated since flooding began last week. An international response, including the European Union and Russia, is ongoing.
And now, the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Monday, May 19th, 2014. Israeli troops injure a Palestinian worker in Gaza and uproot trees in the West Bank. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. A Palestinian man was shot and injured by Israeli troops on Monday near the Erez crossing at the borders with Gaza. The 20-year-old was collecting construction material when troops stationed near the borders shot him in his abdomen, local sources reported. The young man is the second Palestinian to be shot in the same area by Israeli troops in less than 24 hours. On Sunday, a 20-year-old worker was hurt by Israeli army gunfire near the Erez crossing. Israeli soldiers and tanks stationed at the borders open fire frequently at Palestinian workers and farmers, causing injuries to some of them, local sources added. Elsewhere in Jerusalem, 15 Palestinian residents were rendered homeless after Israeli army bulldozers leveled their tents near the area of E1, close to the illegal settlement of Ma'aliyah Dumim. According to the owners, the army gave them no warning before leveling the structures. The Israeli government plans to build more settlements in the E1 area after removing the Palestinian residents. All Israeli settlements in the West Bank and Jerusalem, home to 500,000 settlers, are illegal according to international law. In related news, Israeli soldiers uprooted hundreds of trees that belongs to the members of various families in Nahalim village, west of the West Bank city of Bethlehem. According to residents, the attack is part of the ongoing Israeli military violations and repeated attacks carried out by extremist Israeli settlers. Earlier on Monday, Israeli soldiers kidnapped four Palestinians during a number of military invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank districts of Bethlehem and Hebron, while one resident was ordered to head to the military base for interrogation. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, May 19th, 2014, news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
Russian President Vladimir Putin announced today that he would remove Russian forces from the eastern border of Ukraine. The troops engaged in what Russia termed combat exercises are apparently ordered back to their bases, according to a Russian government website. This marks the third time this announcement has been made since Russian involvement in the Ukraine crisis began in March. However, no pullback of forces occurred in those instances. International observers say that this time, however, Russia may stay true to its word. According to one NATO official, the one-year term for most soldiers on the border is expiring, and new reserves have yet to be called up. The withdrawal may also mark a definitive end to the prospect of a Russian invasion of Ukraine. Referendums in two Ukrainian regions declared a formal relationship with Russia while rejecting the interim national government in Kiev earlier this month.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at laborradio.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Every working person in America knows that higher wages are better for them and for their families than low wages. Hundreds of economists agree. The National Employment Law Project's Christine Owens says the battle over raising the minimum wage is a fight to maintain basic standards and a strong wage floor at the bottom of our economy.
The minimum wage is our most fundamental workplace standard. It is the standard that is intended to ensure that someone who gets up and goes to work can earn a decent living.
Owens says more than 28 million people would benefit from raising the minimum wage, but she says the impact of the minimum wage goes well beyond those people to the economy in general. She says low wages are a drag on demand, which hurts job creation. Owens says low wages contribute to growing inequality that can subvert democracy and destabilize the nation. Owens says raising the minimum wage and stopping its erosion from inflation would strengthen the American economy.
It is about making sure that people who are working in these jobs that sort of line the bottom of the labor market will earn a decent living. But it is also about making sure that the wages in these jobs will lift up wages across the board. And the more we allow the minimum wage to deteriorate and to lose value, the more that pulls down wages across the board for all workers.
The Union for Mine Workers, killed in the Turkish city of Soma, say it's intolerable that mine workers in Turkey are denied their basic human right to work in an environment that guarantees their safety. The Mine Workers Union of Turkey is an affiliate of Industrial. Industrial says Turkey's record on mine safety is poor, and Industrial calls mine workers' deaths carnage. Industrial is calling on Turkey to ratify the International Labor Organization Convention 176 to create much safer working conditions in mines. Turkey has the worst mine safety record in Europe and third worst in the world. The National Labor Relations Board is ordering Boeing to stop illegal intimidation tactics against union members. Boeing systematically photographed and videotaped unionized engineers near Seattle and in Portland, Oregon. The actions are unfair labor practices. The Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace filed the unfair labor practices complaint against Boeing. Boeing has also been ordered to post within 2 weeks a notice saying employees are entitled to join a union and participate in union activities, and that Boeing won't videotape, photograph, or watch union activities. Boeing is evaluating whether to appeal.
Workers Independent News is proud to be heard on The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Live nationwide weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. at theunionedge.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tensions are running high in the Libyan capital of Tripoli today after an attack on the country's parliament yesterday. Two people died and 50 were wounded yesterday as a militia loyal to the Libyan general Khalifa Haftar storm Parliament firing anti-aircraft guns, mortars, and rockets and proclaimed the government disbanded on national television. The group said it would replace Parliament with its own selected assembly. It eventually withdrew from the building. The Libyan National Army set up checkpoints around Tripoli yesterday and engaged forces loyal to Hiftar in brief gunfights, which lasted until morning. Last Friday, Hiftar's forces attacked a rival militia in Benghazi, killing 70.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ken Jones, Rosalind Scott, and myself. The producer is Joe Meyer. Special thanks to Jimmy Tardy. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are their phone numbers, so get a pen or something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Mike Klepfer.
And I'm Rosalind Scott. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Abe Proctor and Joe Uris host the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. At 9, on Alternative Radio, the guest is Jeremy Scahill talking about the national security beast. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on Stage and Studio, host Mae Roberts presents a special one-hour documentary called Shake It, a look at the cultural love of taking Polaroid pictures. Thank you, KBOO members, both new and renewing, for your generous support in our recent membership drive. You keep this station alive. Now, stay tuned for a special report about marriage equality in Oregon.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
A federal judge threw out Oregon's same-sex marriage ban today, marking the 13th legal victory for gay marriage advocates since the U.S. Supreme Court last year overturned part of a federal ban. State officials earlier refused to defend Oregon's voter-approved ban and said they wouldn't appeal. The National Organization for Marriage sought to intervene, but both U.S. District Judge Michael McShane in Eugene and a federal appeals court rejected its attempt to argue in favor of the ban. Many county clerks in the state began carrying out same-sex marriages almost immediately after Monday's ruling. KBOO's Rosalind Scott and Ken Jones were at the Multnomah County Building at 501 Southeast Hawthorne just before the decision was announced at noon. After the announcement, they talked to couples and officials at the Melody Ballroom, where officiants were available to conduct marriage ceremonies for those who had licenses.
So y'all are here today to celebrate, to get married. Who are you? What's your name?
Right. My name's Julie Engblom.
And my name's Larry Brown.
And we are here to get married, and we're just so excited to be here.
Do you have friends and family that are coming for the celebration?
We do. My mom flew in from Wisconsin last night, and my cousins,
cousins live in town, my aunts and uncles, and we have friends from Seattle who are driving down, and everyone's converging on the Melody ballroom at noon, and we're going to make it official.
Do you think there'll be other couples that would be getting married immediately also?
I think so. We're going to get the waiver and get married immediately, and we actually have a friend of ours who's a Multnomah County judge, and she's offered to marry us right away, so we're super excited.
That's
yes.
Wonderful. So how long have you been waiting for this day?
We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary last month.
And she proposed to me on top of Smith Mountain in
Smith Rock.
Yeah. We didn't think it would happen this quickly. We didn't quite plan it, but it just felt right. Everything kind of fell into place, and
it's a great day.
One of the best days of my life.
Oh,
yes.
Wonderful. Well, let's see. I don't know how many people are here now, but I imagine there'll be a bigger crowd at the Melody.
Yeah.
The crowd seems to be building pretty rapidly.
It's right. Getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
We've been here since 8, and it was fairly modest at that point. It's just growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, I think after the announcement became official, I think people have started to...
That the Ninth Circuit has denied this day, so it's just, the energy is amazing.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
See you over at the Melody also.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, I'm from KBU Radio, and I wonder if y'all could tell me what you're doing here, what you're celebrating, what your plans are for later on.
My sister's getting married.
Right.
Yeah, so we're just waiting in line for the ruling to come through, and then we'll go on through with the paperwork.
Are you from Portland?
I'm not. She's here though.
So did you drive in for this?
Yes, I'm here for her wedding.
From where?
I'm from D.C.
Oh, and you came in for that. That's wonderful. Wedding, yes. That's wonderful. How about y'all?
We're here celebrating the Valerie's.
He's currently in D.C.
Okay. Are you from Portland?
No, we've come from Australia, so...
You came from Australia
for this event? For their wedding, yes.
Oh, that is wonderful. And you're going to the Melody Ballroom afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And how about you?
Same thing.
And where are you from?
Portland.
You're from Portland. All right, a local person. Well, we're all waiting for this. Can't wait. Hi, I'm Rosalind Scott with KBU Radio, and we're curious, what are all these vests for? What are you wearing the vests for?
We're just volunteers with Oregon United for Marriage.
So you're all members of Oregon United for Marriage?
Correct. Volunteers and employees.
Okay, so you're volunteering here.
If you want anything about what we're doing, you can actually talk to Gus, who is in that mass of people.
Yeah, we're just wearing these vests so people can see us.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We're just helping folks.
It's just a visibility.
Yeah. So
and what forms are they filling out?
Marriage license applications.
Oh, so you've got the applications already.
Well, the county
folks are filling them out online.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many weddings do you expect today?
Like I said, if you want to know, just talk to Gus.
We're not allowed.
Okay.
He's the one that...
But you can follow us because...
Okay, let's go.
We're also supposed to...
Okay, where is Gus?
Oh.
Follow me.
Actually, Maxie.
What was your name?
I'm Rosalind Scott with KBU Radio.
Rosalind. Gus. This is Rosalind.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gus, tell us about the people with the vests. What are they doing? They're helping people fill out forms?
They are volunteers, just helping answer folks questions that any folks might have. And there is an online application that...
For a marriage license?
Right. That's right. That, because, if you've noticed, there's two lines, one for people who have already filled out the online application and one for couples who still need to fill that out. So,
well, I understand there's a normal 3-day waiting period, but there also is a variance. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so in Oregon County, there's a $5 waiver fee that can apply, and it varies from county to county. But yeah, most couples here have filled that out to apply the waiver. So
do you think most couples are going to go ahead and get married today?
I think it's likely. If there is indeed a positive decision, I think that the county is prepared to issue those licenses right away.
So are there officiants available to conduct the ceremonies?
That's right. So at the Melody Ballroom, there will be officiants ready to marry couples who are interested in going down after they get their licenses. And that's not 10 blocks away from here. So there'll be pedicabs here waiting to take couples from the Multnomah County building to the Melody Ballroom.
Do you have any idea how many people might be getting married as a result of this, assuming that it's favorable?
Great question. You know, I think you can just see from the crowd of people here, there's already there are a lot of couples here, and I think they're all thinking the same thing. You know, I think they're all hoping to have the freedom to marry very soon. So,
well, this is wonderful, and we'll be at the Melody Ballroom also. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Rosalind Scott with KBOO News. Are y'all lined up to get married?
Yep.
Have you already filled out your license?
Yep.
Okay, so what are your names?
And Andy Wallace.
And
Ken Brazier.
Are you from here in Portland?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to the Melody afterwards?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, are any of y'all getting married today?
We are.
You are?
Yes.
What are your names?
I'm Jessica.
And I'm Julia.
Okay, how long have you been planning this?
We've been together for 14 years, but we've been planning to get married for, a couple of years, yeah. And we've been working with the Oregon United for Marriage campaign for the past couple of years. So,
congratulations.
Thank you.
This is a happy day.
Yes.
Hi, are y'all planning to get married today?
They'd rather not talk.
Oh, okay. Anybody here planning to get married today?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Who's first? I'm with KBOO News.
Oh, KBOO, my favorite radio station. Yeah.
So,
well, we're getting married. They don't know yet if they're getting married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing the service.
How long have y'all been a cousin?
10 years.
10 years. Well, it's about time.
Amen.
Yeah, I've been living in sin the whole time.
Oh my God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are we have any couples here? This is Hayden.
Oh,
Hayden.
Yeah,
this is
Hayden. We're a couple.
What are your names?
Claire.
Claire.
And Jasper.
Great. Congratulations. How long have y'all been together?
25 years this month.
25 years?
Yes. Oh, it's our anniversary, so it's perfect.
Oh, this is your anniversary today.
Well, in a week.
In a week?
Yeah.
This counts too.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, well, you're going to go over to the Melody also?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
We'll be there.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Excuse me. Anybody here getting married today? You're okay. So who's the couple?
We are.
Oh, you are. Hi, I'm with KBOO News.
Hi.
What are your first names?
My name's Peter.
Peter?
Dick.
Dick? All right. And how long have y'all been a couple?
11 years.
Hell, that's a long time.
It is.
It's about time they made a thing.
I think so. We've been engaged for 8.
Are you both
waiting for today? Not originally, but we both lived here almost 20 years.
Oh, I think that counts.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hi.
Now you can try to go.
Okay. Are y'all getting married?
No, we're not.
You're not? Okay, you're just celebrating. Okay. Are you a couple?
Well, yes.
You are? Okay. I'm with KBOO News.
Hello.
What are your first names?
My name is Jimmy.
And? I'm Wade.
Great. And how long have y'all been a couple?
23 years this August.
Just 23 years?
Just 23 years.
Oh,
we're not
goodness.
Sure yet.
Oh, you're not sure. Okay. Well, I think it's about time.
We're going to take a chance.
Okay. Well, thank you. And congratulations.
Certainly. Thank you.
Oops. Are y'all getting married today?
We're not.
You're not?
No.
Okay. You're celebrating?
Yep, we're celebrating.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a happy event.
Yes.
Maybe that's official.
Maybe it is.
Hi, I'm
KBOO.
Hi. Are y'all getting married today?
We are. We're hoping to.
From the sound of that, I think maybe you are.
Probably.
Maybe we will be. Oh, great. How long have y'all been a couple?
2 years.
2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you going to go over to the Melody afterwards?
Yes, but we got to find it.
It's not far. It's about 10 blocks.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Is there parking there? Or do we
it's catch as catch can.
All right.
it official now?
Yeah.
Getting married today?
We are not.
No? You're just here for
friends of the bride.
Okay, yeah. Friends of the bride. Did you come from Portland? Or?
From Seattle.
From Seattle?
Yes.
Oh, great. I'm with KBOO News.
Nice. Hi.
Oh, we have people from Australia.
Yeah, we got lucky.
This is fantastic. Yeah. Yes, this is wonderful.
Very
Where are you from?
From Portland.
From Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's good. Are y'all from around here?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you're not. She's not from around here.
No. And where are you from?
I came from Arizona.
From Arizona. And who is your friend getting married?
Julie Englin and Lori. She's my niece.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
This is such a neat setup they've got here. They've got everything ready, it looks like.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
It
We're
is.
So excited for them.
And so close by, too.
Yes.
They're coming in pedicabs.
Oh,
that's
wonderful. That's wonderful.
Very important. Very important.
Yes, it is.
As this ring has no end.
Neither shall I love you. Neither shall I love you. Lord, as you place this ring on the Holy Spirit, repeat these words after me. This ring, a gift for you.
This ring, a gift for you.
Symbolizes my desire.
Symbolizes my desire.
That you be my wife from this day forward.
That you be my wife from this day forward.
As this ring has no end.
As this ring has no end.
Neither shall my love for you.
Neither shall my love for you.
And where I say, I now pronounce you married for life. Woo!
Ken Jones and I talked with Amy Ruiz of Oregon United for Marriage and then Mayor Charlie Hales.
So I'm Roslyn Scott.
Hi.
Yes. And so since you got married in another state,
yes.
I take it?
I got married in Vancouver, Canada.
Vancouver, Canada. So this really
correct. Yes. The judge's ruling today not only allows same-sex couples to marry, it also means that any same-sex marriages performed prior in other states or countries are now fully legally recognized here.
So it wasn't legally recognized in Oregon? You weren't recognized as legally married?
It was not. We had a domestic partnership. A recent state agency opinion noted that it would be recognized for state agency purposes, and we just recently had federal recognition under last summer's rulings, but full 100% Oregon state recognition happened about an hour ago.
Do you have to get married again then in Oregon?
No, we do not. In fact, since we are already married, we should not get married again. certainly couples like us will be renewing their vows here today to celebrate this big day, but we've been married for 7 years, and we're celebrating that fact that we're fully married here at home now.
Now, in addition to that, you've worked really hard as part of the organization to get legalized same-sex marriage in Oregon. I'm interested just how you feel personally today.
Oh, my gosh. This is, yeah, I've been involved with Oregon United for Marriage as a communications director for a little over a year. And before that, working at Basic Rights Oregon. But this work has gone on for decades, most intensively over the last 10 years since Measure 36 passed. Thousands of Oregonians, tens of thousands of conversations, hundreds and hundreds, hundreds of thousands of hours have gone into this amazing day happening.
Were you pretty optimistic? I mean, it was over a year ago, the Supreme Court decision that said...
Almost a year ago, yep, last summer, yeah.
So were you pretty optimistic about today's decision?
We were very optimistic and very hopeful. We were crossing our fingers very tightly. Today marks the 14th decision out of 14 in favor of marriage equality. So we had the odds in our favor. But until we read those words on the page, we just kept our fingers tightly crossed.
So it's the 18th state to have legalized same-sex marriage.
The District of Columbia,
but you had mentioned 14 states.
Many of those decisions have been stayed pending appeal.
Okay.
Many of them may need to be resolved by the United States Supreme Court. But here in Oregon, our governor, our attorney general have made it clear that this law is unconstitutional and indefensible and will not be appealing the decision.
Now, a motion was filed this morning again by the National Organization of Marriage. Do you feel that that's going to kind of throw a wrench in the works? Or
for today, that motion has been denied, and we are celebrating.
Is that kind of all we're going to hear from them on this issue? Or,
we certainly hope so. We think the people of Oregon are ready for marriage. The law is ready for marriage, and there are thousands of couples in the state who are ready to be married.
Now, you mentioned a possible future Supreme Court decision. We talked to Commissioner Fish. He mentioned that, too. I thought the previous one about a year ago that banned prohibitions on same-sex marriage was kind of the final word from the Supreme Court. But you figured there'd be another one?
Last year's Windsor decision struck down a part of the Defense of Marriage Act, the part that precluded the federal government from recognizing legal marriages performed in the states. It did not find a state-by-state, nationwide freedom to marry. So there are states pending in Utah, Virginia, and many other states right now any one of whom could be the case that goes to the Supreme Court as early as next summer, that could potentially decide this nationwide for all families in the country.
Would a possible Supreme Court decision in the future negate today's decision in Oregon?
We don't believe so. We believe the judge's ruling today is a very strong one. Dave Fedenke of the ACLU of Oregon spoke this afternoon at our post-ruling press conference that the decision that the judge made was on sort of the lowest level of scrutiny, which makes it really rock solid. Even if we have future court cases, that's something different.
So unlike about 10 years ago when same-sex marriage was legal in Multnomah County, at least, for about 2 weeks, people getting married today can feel some confidence that that marriage will be enduring.
Yes, this is a federal judge weighing in on a decision that covers the entire state. You know, the state's been ready, the county's been ready, and people are getting married. Yeah, we're here at the Melody Ballroom today. We've already heard news that there's over 35 licenses issued. It's only been an hour. We've already married several couples here in the state. The mayor of Portland and his beautiful wife just showed up. We have couples getting married throughout the building. Thank you.
I'm glad to see you here today. Why are you here today?
It's a great day for Oregon. It's a day long awaited by everybody who believes in justice and opportunity for everyone. Everyone ought to have the opportunity to turn their love into marriage. Nancy and I did. Now everyone can.
I think it's wonderful.
Is there anything, I'm sorry, Mayor, is there anything the city of Portland is doing to kind of ensure today's decision is enduring and there won't be a backlash like there was before?
I've got the ceremony in my pocket ready to conduct it for anyone. So once we've conducted a few thousand marriages and people see their neighbors happily married, I think whatever lingering concerns about this issue will just evaporate like rain on a warm summer day.
So you're here today to actually marry couples?
Well, if anybody's ready, I'm ready to marry them, but we're here just to celebrate, and I'll sign up to conduct ceremonies whenever anyone wants me to. We have some neighbors who have already asked me to officiate, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
We then talked with Portland City Commissioner Nick Fish, who also visited the Melody Ballroom to celebrate the decision.
Well, why are you here today?
We're here to celebrate marriage equality in Oregon. I had the honor of being at the press conference when the judge's ruling was announced. And I'm just proud to be an Oregonian today. And it's another significant milestone in this relentless struggle to full equality for the LGBTQ community. And today we get to celebrate marriage. And I hope tomorrow we'll celebrate the end of discrimination as a matter of federal law. And the future looks bright.
Now, I remember the last time there were marriages in Multnomah County, same-sex marriage. They were later overtaken by a court decision, and then, of course, the ban. Do you feel there's going to be any resistance to this decision today by
No.
Judge Shane?
No, I think the trade winds are going our way now. 18 states have now embraced marriage equality. Courts across the land have said that the Equal Protection Clause means what it says, full equal protection for all. And I think the march of history is on our side.
Is there anything in particular that the city of Portland will be doing to acknowledge or celebrate today's decision?
Well, I asked the most important question at the press conference, which is where are the couples registered? So that is the first step. We will do everything we can in concert with the county to make sure that these marriages proceed and that loving couples enjoy the full protection of law. And we're very proud to be in a state now that recognizes full equality in marriage for gays and lesbians.
Do you have friends getting married today?
Well, interestingly, yes, there were some friends at the press conference, but 34 years ago, I went to work for a guy named Barney Frank. And even though I was the most junior member of his staff in Washington, D.C., I could marry the love of my life in the state of my choice, and he couldn't. Well, the change in law in Massachusetts 10 years ago allowed him to marry the love of his life. And today that same protection and right is extended to all Oregonians. So it's a very proud day, and to see over a 34-year period, the arc of history, the relentless march to equality, so that today Judge McShane could issue an opinion, which in some level was unremarkable, because he was citing to establish precedent across the land. That's a very happy day for the cause that I believe deeply in, of full equality.
I just wanted to kind of focus a little bit more on possible resistance. There was a motion filed this morning by the National Organization of Marriage
trying to stay
the decision.
I think it's absolutely implausible that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will stay because they are duty bound to follow precedent. Ultimately, it'll be the Supreme Court that issues the final decision on this. I think if you look at all the cases that have been and the groundwork has been laid, I think it's quite unlikely that a Supreme Court will undo this historic moment. So I think here in Oregon, we're on firm ground, and I think at some point, if the Supreme Court has the final word, I'm very optimistic they'll get it right.
As of 3:30 this afternoon, approximately 35 weddings had taken place at the Melody Ballroom. If you have your marriage license, weddings will be conducted at the Melody Ballroom until 10 p.m. tonight.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Voices on the Ground, Resistance and Resilience, Friday and Saturday, June 6th and 7th at Portland State University. The keynote speaker will be Sherry Hunkala, a national activist in anti-poverty movements and co-founder of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and the Poor People's Economic Human Rights. This two-day conference will focus on areas of human rights, criminalization, and pathologizing of identities and experiences, revolutionary tools, and more. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Sun Ra. Hailed as one of the great big band leaders, pianists, and surrealists of jazz at the New York Times. Composer, keyboardist, band leader, philosopher, poet, and self-proclaimed extraterrestrial, Sun Ra arrived on the Earth 100 years ago on May 22, 1914. This Thursday, May 22, 2014, KBOO will dedicate the airwaves to 12 hours of the music, life, and philosophy of one of the 20th century's greatest avant-garde artists, Sun Ra. Beginning at 7 p.m., continuing all night long until 7 a.m. with a special in-studio performance of the Sonic Innovators Orchestra, featuring students of Thera Memories and conducted by David Ornette Cherry at 9 p.m. That's this Thursday, beginning at 7 p.m., a 12-hour tribute to the phenomena known as Sun Ra.